Well, let me say again, what a joy to have all of you here. And we welcome you. All of you online, we welcome you. Let me do something that's in my heart. I don't know if you noticed watching TV and news conferences and, you know, when the president, whomever that might be, you have the camera on the podium and obviously there's people around that you don't really see, but we're all waiting for president to come out and do whatever it is he's about to do. And somewhere there's a voice that you would hear that says, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. People will begin to applaud. They stand up, they applaud. Well, I want to do that this morning, not with the president. But I want to talk about one before I preach. I just want to say this. There was in Bethlehem a baby born. He's placed in a manger. When he was began his ministry, he was baptized in the Jordan. And the father said, this is my son. I'm well pleased. They nailed him to the cross. And he died for us and as us. They went to anoint his body, but he wasn't there. Death had been defeated. Sin had been overcome. 40 days later, he went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and said, I will send another like myself, another called the Holy Spirit. And the another will do and reveal who I am. That one said, when two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. What is his name? His name is Jesus. He's called the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth declare his glory. He's not going to be, he is. He has chosen this morning, in the midst of us, to release his presence. And so, ladies and gentlemen, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, the Almighty One, I say to you, I present his presence. Let's thank him that he is among us. We welcome you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We welcome you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think the Lord's welcome. Praise God. Amen. Well, I want to share my heart with you. You know, there's sometimes that you preachers will know this, you struggle over some things more than others. This is one of them, that for weeks now I've struggled over this in my heart and crying out to the Lord. I've wept through this message myself. But I want to share what I think the Lord has got us to this place so that we can respond and go to the next place. Okay? I want to talk to you. It's on the screen there. I want to talk to you out of Genesis 22. And there'll be some more scriptures we will read. But I want to talk to you out of Genesis 22 about the treasures of the heart. Obviously, the word treasure simply means that's the value you put on something. The heart is the Greek word hartia, H-A-R-T-I-A. It means it's the center of my being. When the Bible talks about our heart, it's referring to the center of our being. That's who we are. So I want to talk about that, and I want to use the backdrop of Genesis chapter 22 about a man named Abraham. And I'm going to read three or four verses here. So let's start in verse 1. This is the New King James. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested. Now let me stop there, lest the devil speak something that's not true. God does not tempt people. He may try you and test you, but he does not tempt you to sin. That's the devil's job. So what God did with Abraham, he tested or tried him and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, Abraham, or God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him up there as a burnt offering, one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. Interesting to me. This chapter fascinates me. It touches my heart. Abraham, he and Sarah could not have a son. Miraculously, they had Isaac. And obviously, Abraham must have loved Isaac beyond actually explanation, I guess. Because what God was after in this 22nd chapter was not Isaac, but the heart of Abraham. Now, let's think about this. He's going to take him to Mount Moriah, but Abraham is standing at the foot of Mount Moriah. Now listen carefully. Abraham, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, had an encounter with God. God made a covenant. God gave him promises. So here's a man standing at the foot of Mount Moriah. He's a man with a promise. He loves God. I mean, and he's got a son that's a miracle. And God has said directly things to him. So he's standing here, and that out of Abraham, out of the loins of Abraham, came Isaac. Out of Isaac would come Jacob and Esau. Out of Jacob would come the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Out of the tribe of Judah, through that lineage, would come one called Jesus, the Messiah. All of that is in the loins of Abraham. Now, he doesn't know all of that yet because it hadn't all played out. That was the potential of Abraham at the foot of Mount Moriah. Out of him would come a nation. Out of that nation that we've been praying for this morning would come Messiah. Out of Messiah would come you. You are here today connected to what happened with Abraham in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. So, God comes to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, the one you love, I want you to take him to the mountain I will show you and offer him as a burnt offering to me. The interesting thing about the word burnt offering, that's the only offering that was totally apart from the skin. That was the only offering that was totally consumed. It was totally consumed as it was offered to the Lord. So God was saying to Abraham, I want you to take your son, and there's no reservation in what I want you to do. I want you to offer him at the altar on the mountain I will show you. It's interesting to me as I've read it and read it and read it and read it. As they walked up the mountain toward Moriah, then they see the mountain. The word Moriah means the land of Yahweh. And so they're going into the land of Yahweh, for God has called Abraham to do something. And so on the way, they have conversations, and it's listed in Scripture. You can imagine, and Abraham's faith was burning. He believed that God would do what God said he would do. But there was one thing missing in Abraham's life. He had to lay the love of his life, his treasure on an altar so God could finish what God was about to start. So here they go up the mountain. Who's going to do this, Daddy? Well, God will provide. Then when they get there, now this is Abraham's faith. When they get there, Abraham, with the wood he cut himself, places the wood, ties up his son, lays him on it. And then Isaac said, Father, where is the lamb for the offering? Now, I want to tell you right now, I can read that, but living that out for me would be a challenge. But look at Abraham. He is carrying out something that God wants you and me to hear this morning. I believe it with all my heart. And so God's going to provide. Because he told the two guys that lived behind, we're going, we're coming back. He didn't know how it was going to happen. But one thing God wanted was the treasure that Abraham had in his heart that would finish the covenant that he had with Abraham. So, you know the story well. He reaches for the knife because he's got the fire in his hand. Scripture says he goes for the knife and draws the knife back to take the life of his son Isaac. It's in the Bible. When he does this, the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ, grabs his hand and says to Abraham, don't touch the lad. There's a ram caught in the thicket. Take that. That is the burnt offering. Now watch this. When Abraham goes this way, how many of you know at that point, listen to me, Abraham owned nothing. And yet, Abraham had everything. Come on now. He had none. The very thing that he loved the most, he now is going to sacrifice the treasure of his life. The angel stops him. There's a ram in the thicket. He sacrifices that as the burnt offering. Now, interesting to me that when he said that, if you look at Scripture, the angel of the Lord in verse 15 speaks the second time. Now watch what he said. Because you have done this. Because you have taken your treasure, laid it on my altar, and given it to me because of that. Because of that, I love to read it. Because of that, blessing I will bless you. Multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Because you did this, this is what I'm going to do. Because you did this. The interesting thing, in the third chapter of Galatians, Paul said it like this, and I'm putting it in my in our words. Paul said, Jesus became a curse for us that he might deliver us from the curse of the law, that we might enjoy and partake, be involved in the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. So when God said, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you, he's not just talking to Abraham. Bless God, we are in the loins of Abraham by faith through Messiah. The Jewish nation came out of the loins of Abraham. Though he wasn't a Jew. But the loins, out of the loins of Abraham, it became a Jewish nation. So, when he comes back off the mountain, Mount Moriah, he's coming down having laid the treasure of his heart on the altar. So now God can finish what God was going to do out of the man Abraham. Now, stop here. How many of you know, you may not be Abraham, but God's made a deposit in you. He who lives in you is the hope of glory. He's made a deposit in all of us. That out of our loins, my goodness, out of our loins, are you here? Out of your loins, only God knows what he wants to do. But if there was, like Abraham, an issue, what's your treasure? Where's the treasure of your heart? Where is it? Is it a son, daughter? Is it a ministry? Many pastors have been tormented the majority of their life because the treasure was their ministry or the success of that ministry. And it needs to be laid on the altar. It needs to go to Mount Moriah and leave it. How many of you know that the only judge that you'll be judged by is the one who came out of the empty tomb? I'll never have to stand by John Hagee and God judge me according to him. Only thing God will ever say to the believer, I think, only thing, the judgment level is this: what did you do with what I gave you? And so that treasure, the treasure of my heart, has to be laid where Abraham put his, because out of the heart, you know what I just said, out of the heart, which is the center of our very being, out of that, God wants to take the treasure, lay it on God's altar, that out of my loins and my life, God can do with it whatever he wants to do. You know, you say, well, what if I give God my treasure, something I want? What if you don't do anything? Not your problem. I mean, you can rejoice in doing nothing. How many of you know, God will never judge us on how big it was. How successful was it? Come on now. How much did you have? I think the judgment for all of us is, what did you do with what I gave you? Have you know the little guy down at Podunk Holler? He's got 20 people in his church, but he's faithful. We'll get the same reward of the guy that's got 5,000 down the street. Come on now, church. That puts everybody on the same level. Have you know, God doesn't have a committee. He don't have a board. Hallelujah. He is the Lord God Almighty. He judges our heart. How many know that we get caught up in our head because we live the natural life out of our head? But let me tell you what I found out in the Bible, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. Here's what I found out, and it touched my heart. I found out what's in my heart affects how I live my life. Now, that was not a real revelation, but I knew that. But how many know you can miss heaven by 17, 18 inches? I mean, you can have it here, but it never did get down here. Didn't they say that to Jesus? Did we not? Did we not do this and do this and do this? But he said, I never knew you. You see, salvation is not a head thing, though God gave us a brain to think. Salvation is a heart issue, that out of your heart flow the issues of life. So therefore, what God is after with all of us here online and you, what God is after, what is the treasure of your heart? Find out what it is. Ask God what it is. And bring it to Mount Moriah and leave it and watch what God will do with it. Now, I'll say this, probably get back to it. I believe there is an anointing in this house this morning for prodigals. And this is what I've been hearing for weeks and weeks. Tell the people. In my heart, tell the people to bring their prodigal or prodigals to Mount Moriah and leave it. Leave her. Leave him. Well, I love them. You don't stop loving them. You start praying differently. How many of you know it's not the will of God that any should be saved? Come on now. How many of you know, your seed is... I will bless you, I will bless your seed, and I will bless your seed. See, is that not a promise? Well, let's start saying, my son, my daughter, they may be backslidden, but it's not the will of God they perish. God has something for them, and they're part of my seed, so therefore, I'm claiming the blessing of Abraham, because listen to me now, my son and daughter don't belong to me. I've given them to Jesus. And when you give them to Jesus, let me tell you, he has a ways and means committee. I remember hearing a mom and daddy say this. I think it was to their son that they'd prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. Nothing. One day they sit him down and said, we've been praying, son. We've turned you over to Jesus. We've turned you over to Jesus. Terror hit the boy. Fear hit the boy. shortly thereafter, he bowed his knee to Jesus. Do you understand? You don't have to beg God to save people. He sent his son to save whosoever will. But when you do this, then you keep on loving, but now you start decreeing over that prodigal or prodigals. That prodigal is coming home. They may not know it yet. Praise God. In the far country, God's going to bring them to themselves because I've given them to the Lord. Therefore, I left her or him at Mount Moriah, and I came down Mount Moriah, leaving them at the altar of God. Therefore, I'm waiting on their getting here because I know they're coming. See, I mean, we don't have to convince God. He's convinced already. So here's what I found out. We need to ask ourselves, do I realize what's in my heart, how it affects my life? So I'm going to give you a point or two, and then we'll move somewhere else. Now, let me just give it to you real quick. First of all, what's in your heart affects how your understanding. How you see life is affected by what's in your heart. I found it in the Bible. I got more than one scripture, but I'm just going to read one. Luke 3:15, as the people were in expectation, this is about John the Baptist, they all reasoned in their hearts. Didn't say in their head, in their hearts. So how we understand something is rooted in what's in our heart. Second, how many of you know what's going on in America right now? If we are clouded with a spirit of deception. How many know about deception? You don't know you are. That's the thing about it. How can you know you're deceived when you're deceived? The only thing darkness needs is light. So what's the issue? I can tell you what the issue is. The deception came out of something called a heart condition. Come on now. America has a heart condition. We don't have a political issue. We got a heart condition. Now, we got some issues. I don't mean that. We got a heart condition. What would happen if God blew his breath on America now and everybody started getting saved? Let's just say by the millions. I mean, what would happen? You know what would happen. The whole complexion of the nation would change. Why? Because it's a heart issue. I think I've said this to you, but I just said in passing, Pastor Eddie and Mickey and Mark and Robin have just been there in the last few days. Little place called Amalunga, about 20,000, 25,000, I guess now. High in the mountains in Guatemala, where the transformation took place a few years ago. Gina and I have had the privilege, some of you have heard him, we've had him here in our area. Pastor Mariano was one of the few pastors that was involved in this. Now, Pastor Mariano said 4% of the whole population of Amalunga were saved. They had a heart issue. Had a heart issue. Come on now, how do you know being lost is not a head issue? It's a heart issue. And you got to get, it's a heart issue. So, Pastor Mariano said 4% of the population of Amalunga were believers. And we, a small group of pastors starts, they get together and they start praying. And they pray and they pray and they pray. Mariano said, one night I was praying and the devil, not a demon, Mariano said, the devil himself showed up right beside me. Says, you cannot have these people in Amalunga. They belong to me. And laughed. Mariano said to the devil, you better laugh tonight because you won't laugh in the morning. He said, when daylight came the next day, something happened over Amalunga. He said, they started getting saved. He said, 600 and 700 a day were coming to Jesus. I mean, this is reality. This happened. 600 and 700 a day. Not somebody up preaching. They were just, what's happened? Their hearts convicted. You see. And so Mariano said 600 and 700. And before we knew it, now watch this, before we knew it, the majority of everybody in Amalunga heart has been changed. So therefore everything else changed. Guess what? The agriculture changed. They were, I don't know, 6 or 8 pickup loads, I think it was, maybe something like that, a week they were exporting out of there. Now, they're exporting 70, 80, 90 tractor loads a day. You go, well, that's just good soil, really. A friend of mine took soil to Auburn, to the lab, had it checked in the lab at Auburn, and sent me the result and said, this is what the lab said. This soil will not grow vegetables. I've seen it. I saw Pastor Eddie's the other day. Carrots look like weapons. I mean, it's incredible. They start in the morning and they work till 2. Their school buses are Mercedes. Come on now. Now, say, what's the point? The point is this. When the heart got right, guess what else began to happen? See, we've been blessed in America. I mean, blessed beyond blessed. But we thought it was us. We got to repent from that and know out of the heart of humans in America that loved God, God began to flow life into this nation. We were created for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to say this to you and don't want to offend you. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am a child of God and I'm going to vote accordingly. If you're caught up in the political system, repent and get over it. Amen. Because what's in your heart will be how you vote in the polls. I don't want to go too far there. I'd get flogged. Okay, so. Do you understand? What's in your heart reflects your understanding of life. Second, let me do it. This is about Barnabas. I'm sorry. It's about Barnabas. This is what he said in Acts 11:23. Barnabas encouraged them all with a purpose of heart. So their will was involved in this. I mean, have you never done something wrong and you got convicted? I mean, had to go back and go, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, you know. I mean, I think I told you that I was at Walmart here not long ago and they charged me for something I didn't get. Wasn't that what it was? They didn't charge me. Yeah, that's it. They didn't charge me. Well, I mean, after all, how many know Walmart is not on Social Security? Walmart, they don't need my money. I mean, come on now. I'm just a peon, went in there and got whatever. And I get back to the car and I say, look at that. Hey, dead gum. Just get in the car and leave. Nobody will ever know it, but Jen, she ain't going to tell nobody. I hope. What made me go back in there? It wasn't his. Come on now. and you go back in there and people don't know what to do. Man, you didn't charge me for that. They look at you and go, what planet you live on? Do you what's in your heart will determine your choices. Let me give a third one. This is found in Luke 1:66. It's about your memory. And I'm not talking about how much you... I'm not talking... June and I laugh about this because we're always going, what's their name? She usually remembers. That's not what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing what's in the heart helps you remember what you remember? You can remember the wrong thing. They hurt me. I hadn't forgotten it yet. It's a heart issue. So here it is. Is Zacharias, you know about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Zacharias, you know, he was in the temple and God spoke to him and he didn't believe it. And God said, well, you're not going to talk till the baby's born. So he struck dumb. And in Luke 1:66, he comes back. And they said, well, let's name him. And John got a pet tab and said, and wrote, "You shall call his name John." When he said that, all of this other fell off of him. And then the scripture says, those who heard them kept this. What they heard, where'd they keep it? In their hearts. Wouldn't it be good if we couldn't remember anything but something good? When I look at you and you look at me, wouldn't it be amazing if you couldn't remember anything but, boy, isn't he a wonderful guy? I know you're not, because we're human beings, but wouldn't it be wonderful if the memory of the heart was we remembered what God did? We're so tempted. I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. But I lie about other things too. How many of you know exactly what I mean? So it's amazing what we remember. Let me give you another one. In Luke 24, 32nd verse, when Jesus taught them about himself in the scriptures, he said, did not our, what's the next word? Hearts burn within us. That was their affection. Did not our affection, my affection is in my heart. So it's important that we deal with what's in our heart. I'm laboring this. And then, listen to this one. This convicts me. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth talks. If you've got a bad mouth, you don't need a psychologist. You need a Savior. Come on now, church. Hey, you know, out of the abundance of my heart, I talk. The only public job I ever worked in my life. When I got out of high school, I got the job and worked it until I started pastoring. And my boss man was the most evil, talking, foul mouth human I'd ever heard. I'm telling you, he didn't just do it. It was like a cesspool flowing out of him all the time. He couldn't talk without it. So I could have confronted him and caused him to quit talking that way, but that wouldn't have helped him any, because it wasn't here that he had a problem. If you've got a cussing problem, take your heart to the Lord. Don't take your head, take your heart. Ask God to help you. Well, when I quit the job, when he left, actually, he's still cussing. I wasn't just cussing. But what was wrong with the guy? He had a heart issue. I'm not the judge of that. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. I mean, you know, turn on the TV and you hear it. You can tell me right now, this problem is not a head. They got a heart issue. So you go over and over. So if you got a heart issue in America, then the result of that is that we begin to reap it after a while. Let me give you one more. Then we'll switch. This is found in Proverbs 4:24. The Bible said, out of the heart spring the issues or the boundaries. We set boundaries out of our heart. How many of you, mom and daddy, your kids need boundaries. You owe that to them. God sets boundaries for us. Don't do that. Don't jump off the building. You might get hurt. But we don't want to be negative. Let's don't be stupid either. Come on now. Well, we don't want to offend our kids. We just let them watch whatever. Set boundaries. Turn it off. Unplug it. Say no. Bust their bottom if you need to. All in the name of Jesus. They'll appreciate it. Come on now. God called you to help them, not for them to help you. You are the father and the mother. So we set boundaries about what's in our heart. Now let me give you a scripture that kind of blows my mind. It's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:21. Listen to it. For where your treasures are, your heart will be also. You want to know what's in my heart? Check. Where's my treasure? That's what's in my heart. Wherever my treasure is. Now, the context of that is mammon, money. And that can be a treasure in people's heart. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. It's not. Listen to me. Let me clarify something. Clear it up. It's not how much you have. It's how much has you. I know people haven't got anything, and what they got has them. Come on now. It's not how much. It's how does it have you? I can remember when I got saved. June and I got saved. I didn't tithe. I mean, I didn't know what tithing was. Didn't go to church. But I get saved. Nobody told me to. And we said, well, we better tithe. I remember the first $10 I ever gave in church. I remember that little old Methodist church. I remember I dropped that $10 in that offering plate. Now, I wanted to be sure it got to the right destination. That's $10. Come on now. How many of you know? Don't let mammon control you. You control it because the love of it is a heart issue. Don't shout them down because I'm preaching too good. Have you noticed the truth? Overall, in America, not this house, it really isn't. Overall in America, 20-some-odd percent of Christians tithe. Here's what I found out. I mean, I made a discovery. God will let me do more with what's left than I could do if I had it all. I can remember one time, one week, we didn't because we needed it. God's ways and means committee cut loose on us under conviction, and we never did that again. So do you have to die? You don't have to. I mean, come on. God's looking for treasure. He don't. Whatever is a treasure in you controls you. Now, it was a camp meeting, tent meeting, one of those deals. The meeting had ended, but this particular young man didn't leave. He stayed. His testimony is somewhere around 2 o'clock in the morning. That young man had climbed Mount Moriah and left his treasure. I don't know when after that, but after that, he became president of Asbury University, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, incredible man of God. You see, when God got the treasure, God's after yours. Not because he has to. I mean, no, God's not broke. Come on now. God's not broke. He don't need your money. Good gosh. I mean, when he made heaven, he had streets to go. People are digging it up under their toenails. I mean, come on now. That's the kind of God we serve. It's about the treasure of my heart. Dr. Kinlaw became an incredible, and he's not there now, but he was incredible. He was there when the first revival came to Asbury University. I heard him tell the story. When he was in Canada and got, they announced when he got to the airport, they announced, Dr. Kinlaw, you have an emergency phone call. So he said, I thought riots had broken out. You know, Wilmore's not very big. Couldn't have much of a riot because we don't have that many people. And the staff on the other end said, Dr. Kinlaw, he said, what is it? Dr. Kinlaw said, revival's broken out at Asbury, and we don't know what to do. I'm ready for some I don't know what to do's. My God. Don't you think we've had, let's do it here and stop here and do it. Don't you think we don't know what to do? It started and it is like a cyclone. We're caught in the wind. Hallelujah. Still remember when he got back, he said in the middle of the night, he got back to Asbury. He said, I sat down not knowing how to fit in. But remember, he left his treasure. He don't have to be the big guy. He fits in. He said, a young girl came and sat down and said, Dr. Kinlaw, I got a problem. What is it? She said, I lie a lot. Can't you hear the honest of that? I lie a lot. What should I do about it? He said, go back and ask everybody to forgive you. You lied to. And said, after that, she come on, go, I found four more, Dr. Kinlaw, I had to repent to. Aren't you glad when the heart gets right, the mouth and the actions come alongside? For wherever my treasure is, that's my heart also. Let me ask you. I mean, you're my brothers and sisters. Where's your treasure? Where is it? Well, we all got one. The old couple, farmer, pastor friend was telling me, had an automobile accident and she was seriously injured. Jim Webster told me the story. He said, bad accident. He said, I went to the hospital and there really was no much of any hope for her because of head injury. And late in the evening, early, he had to go back to the farm. If you folks that are farm folks know, he had to go milk the cow and slop the hogs and do chickens and do the things that farmers do. Jim told me, he said, well, he told me the story. He said, went to milk the cow. Decided, no, I'm going in here and pray. And he went in the stable down at the barn, got on his knees and said, Lord Jesus, I need you to heal my wife. He said, I waited. I heard the Lord say, will you give her to me? He said, I don't know. I'll let think about that. He said, I went back and milked the cow. When I finished milking, I went back in the stable and said, done. Well, I thought about it. She's yours. If she lives or dies, she's yours. Mount Moriah. Jim Webster said, a couple of weeks after, I was standing in the kitchen and I looked out the window. And this old couple drove in the driveway with the old man and his wife. Will you give your treasure to, this morning? Well, I don't care if I'm here at slap dunk. Will you give your treasure to the Lord? Whatever it is. If it's your spouse, if your kids, lay it down. It's amazing what God can do with them. You can't. Was at the chapel when we used to do those mission conferences, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday night we did faith pledges for people could, you folks over there know, you could pledge $10 a month for this one, different missionaries. And we did it for a year and then we'd do another one. So apparently the pastor that we had preaching at this particular missions conference had said something about treasure on Tuesday night. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, I'm standing down in front like this, down on the floor, and I'm about to do the faith pledges for the next year. And I'm standing here like this, and I look up down the aisle, like coming down this aisle here. Here comes a man with a gun. And had a hunting rifle. He's carrying it like this. He's crying. And he comes to me, and he said, this is a treasure. He loved to hunt. This is a treasure in my life. And I'm laying it down. This was his Mount Moriah. He goes, a gun? You'd have to be a man. Laid it on the altar. That man was walking with God at the time. By the time he got back to us, see, another young man walking down. I'm just standing. I'm not doing anything. I mean, he goes, why don't you say something? What do you say? Thank God I didn't get shot. I could say that. Another man's walking down the aisle and he's mumbling something. I don't know what he's saying. But when he got close to me, this is what he said. I've always wanted a gun like that. And I'll give, I think it was $400, a few hundred. I'll give $400 for that gun. Because it all goes commissions, you understand? And he picks it up. Just like that. And he walks over to the guy that just gave it and laid it in his lap. And when he did that, the glory of God fell in the house. And there's people that are here that was there. I stood there and did nothing for 4 hours. And I watched a congregation move under the power of God like I've never in my life known before or since. Wasn't anything I did. I just watched it because it all had to do with a Mount Moriah issue. Jen and I don't know, had $200-$300, something like that, in our savings. We gave it away, I think, 3 different times. Just kept circling. I'm standing down at the front, and I happen to know a situation, a young man from Guatemala that had gone to Pennsylvania to work the whole summer to get enough money to buy a pickup truck for their ministry. And he was driving it back to Guatemala and stopped off in Florence. And so I'm standing down like this, and I see him coming out of the corner of my eye. I see him coming. He's got the keys in his hand. And I said this. I was crying. I said, no, Lord, not that. I couldn't handle what it was costing that young man to lay his treasure down. I said, no, Lord, not that. He comes up to me with the keys. Said, I'm giving this to missions, not to our mission, but to the missions of this church. And went and sat down. You don't think God's big? When 4 hours was up, he had his keys back and $1,700 in his pocket. That's the truth. That's the truth. And you know, people, I mean, like right now, if that were to happen now, you don't know. You can't orchestrate that. Only God could do that. But it all, you see where the connection? The connection came from Moriah. And so people just start getting up, going to the house and getting stuff and bringing it back. And you can't go, well, John gave Joe, I don't know what he gave him. They just go get it and give it away to somebody else. So you couldn't calculate, but what we could calculate the next morning, this is what we could calculate. Staff meeting next morning, $125,000 in cash is given that night. 9 automobiles were given into the ministry. Did I ask for that? I didn't say a word. But I'm illustrating something. When Abraham goes to Mount Moriah and lays Isaac there, it released the nation. And out of that nation came a bride. And that bride's sitting before me today. The power of ridding my treasure from my heart to his and leaving it with thanksgiving. Well, sure takes a lot of pressure off of you. You don't have to. You just, it's not my, after all, I'm only the steward here. I'm only driving the car. I don't need it. I mean, it's not mine. So I can tell you. Mike said to me one day, Pastor Doc, every scripture you know, you've got a story behind it. And that's about the truth. But I had a knife. I mean, you know, if you love God, man, you'll carry a knife. One elder said, a man's worth $1 an hour more if he's got a pocket knife. That's not in the Bible, so don't look for it. So anyway, but somebody had given me a knife, looks like this one. And I lost it. And it wasn't a knife. It was the guy that gave it to me. It meant more to me. And I lost it. And I'm fretting over it. And I said, Lord, I've lost my pocket knife. And then it dawned on me. Wasn't yours to start with. Can you imagine going to heaven, getting to heaven and go, Jesus, I like my pocket knife. Come on now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, June ordered me one. And people started coming and giving me pocket knives. I've got a collection of pocket knives. So, bless God, if you don't like your pocket knife, throw it away and ask God to give you some more. I wouldn't recommend that. The fact, that meant a lot to me. But when I said it wasn't mine, I said, okay, I give it to you, Lord. Do you understand the principle that I'm talking about? Take your treasure to Mount Moriah, lay it down. Take that prodigal, take that business, take it, whatever, and leave it. Let that treasure be left on the altar, and from that point on, you make decrees over it of what God said about it. And watch what God does. I'm telling you, this is the truth. So, I tell you what, let's do. Has anybody got a treasure here you'd like to get rid of and give it to God so that God can do with it whatever He wants to do? I said one more. I lied. I'm going to say one more. This is a prophet. I won't tell you his name. Prophet. We've had him in the area. Prophet told me this. He said, I was a little boy. Missionary came to our church and I was in Sunday school. My daddy had given me like a dollar or something. Could have been less. And they took up an offering from the missionary. And he said, I felt the Lord said, I want you to give that to that missionary. He's just a little kid. And he said, when the offering plate passed, I laid my little money in the offering plate. To that little boy, that was a Moriah. And he told me this. He said, years later, I was in the ministry and I got a check through the mail. $50,000. I said, Lord Jesus, where did that come from? He said, it came from that offering you put in Sunday school. Do you hear that? I don't know how many years passed, but that created that. That creates. So would you, in a minute? I'm asking. If you don't know the Lord, please, this morning, what a morning, say yes to Jesus. Or you're just not right with God. But I want to be right with God, preacher. But this morning, I'm coming. I'm not asking the prayer team to come yet. I'm asking you, would you come and lay your treasure at the altar? They're already starting to come. Would you come and leave it? Don't take it home with you. Leave it. If it's a son or daughter, or if it's a money, if it's a house, if it's a whatever it is, come and leave it. Find your, and do, please. Worship team, y'all can come, please, John. Don't leave until the transaction has been made. Come on now, get up out of your seat and come on. We're going to begin to worship in just a minute. I'm leaving a treasure that's in my heart at Mount Moriah this morning. I'm leaving it. All right, just slip out and come. Anybody? There's an anointing to do this right now. In the name of Jesus, there's an anointing to do this. Hallelujah. If you need to sit and bring a chair, we'll get one for you. Anybody else? Let's just begin to worship, Sean. That's okay. You just stay seated for a minute. All of you around the altar, please, 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 I beg you, do not get up and leave until the transaction in your heart has been made. I promise you, you can mark today on your eternal calendar that God marked it in heaven. With you, lift your hand and we'll come to you. Someone will. Otherwise, this is between you and the Lord. I tell you what, let's do. And if you need to leave, you can leave quietly. I just dismiss you. Don't miss this opportunity where there is a grace to lay it down. And if that's the Lord, I don't know, only you and the Lord knows. But I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me share a little bit this morning. And you listening, you're dismissed in the name of Jesus. And please know, the altar is still open if you don't know the Lord. Wow, what an opportunity today. God bless you. May He bless you and keep you. Make His face shine on you. May He be gracious to you. Lift up His countenance upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.